Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, tonight, we continue our election coverage, giving you a closer look at the candidates for D.C. mayor. Last week, we spoke to Ward 8 D.C. Councilman Trayon White and at-large D.C. Councilmember Robert White. Tonight, former lawyer and D.C. Advisory Neighborhood Commissioner James Butler is our guest. He says that his three opponents for the Democratic nomination for mayor are established politicians who are not meeting or addressing the needs of the city's residents. Mr. Butler says if the electorate truly wants change, he argues he's the only one who can provide it. Tonight, we're giving him a platform to share with our listeners why he should be the next mayor of the District of Columbia. Mr. Butler, again, is the third of four mayor candidates on the ballot. We have yet to get a confirmation from Mayor Muriel Bowser's campaign. We would hope that she will join us, but we will continue to reach out to her campaign to provide you informative coverage of the mayoral candidates up until the June 21st election. Now, the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is your chance to speak to Mr. Butler, ask him about his position on issues pertinent to residents of the District of Columbia, and also offer your comments if you have them. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mr. Butler, thank you so much for being with us.
Mr. Bryan, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. It's certainly my distinct privilege, pleasure, and an honor to be here. And also the honor of my life to be running for the district mayor. I want to thank you, the Howard University and WHUR, for doing this spread of information and all that you do to further the ends of democracy.
Well, thank you so much. Let's begin now with you telling our listeners, who is James Butler and why you want to be the next mayor of D.C.?
Thank you so much again. As was mentioned, I am James Butler, and I am running to be the D.C.'s next and eighth mayor. I am a proud Washingtonian residing in Ward 5 in the Trinidad neighborhood. I am also equally proud to be the only non-career politician running for the office of mayor. I'm a former ANC in Ward 5, also a former civil rights lawyer where I've sued state governments, city governments, rogue police departments, sheriff departments, all over the nation. We're fighting for fairness and equality for people. That's where I learned how governments work. As an ANC commissioner, I really learned the fault lines in this city where the problems lie. And I want the voters tonight to really consider something and ask themselves a few questions. After 8 years, do you feel safer in D.C.? After 8 years, do you feel that D.C. is a more affordable city? After 8 years, do you feel that we've tackled our homelessness crises appropriately? And after 8 years, do you feel that our schools are any better? Now, all three of my opponents, and there are only three, the current mayor and two D.C. council members, they talk about the problems and they distance themselves. They use flowery language like, our city leaders are failing us. And yet they tell you that they have a solution for the problems that almost every single problem and metric happened under their watch. Crime at a 20-year high. We've got homelessness festering out of control. No deeply affordable housing. And our schools failing us. Yet these are the same people that tell you they have a solution for these issues. They're selling you a ruse. I am asking the voters to clean house and suggesting that we need to do a full reset with a fresh set of eyes to turn this thing around. I'm going to share with the voters tonight how I will literally, my first priority as mayor of this great city will be to restore hope and to make it one of the safest cities in America. I will also share with them how am the only candidate with a plan to bring deeply real affordable housing, how that I will nix the homeless problem once and for all, So homelessness will be rare, brief, and nearly non-existent. And I will ensure that our schools make to grade. That is why I am best prepared to lead this city from day one. And I know the voters, when they say they're looking for a fresh face, they're not talking about looking at just playing a game of musical chairs, moving someone from council to the mayor, or putting someone back in office. They really do want a fresh face.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Butler. This is not your first time, and we'll get back to specific the issues that you've addressed. But this isn't your first time running for office. You ran for mayor in the previous election, which Mayor Bowser won. What's different about your campaign this time around? Now you're running against a two-term incumbent who is seemingly popular with voters, according to recent polls. So with only 2 weeks to go before the primary, which is scheduled for June 21st, how do you overcome the odds, or do you even see them as odds?
I don't, and let me tell you, let's talk about the poll that you mentioned. The only poll that was done by an independent media source were two polls. Let's talk about the first one that was done February 12th of 2022. That poll listed every candidate but me, Treon and Robert. And it did not list me. It lists others and had the others at 4%. There was another poll done by a paper that you're probably familiar with called the Washington Informer. That was an online poll done. And that was done on May 2nd. That's the most recent poll done by an independent poll done by a media source. Of course, it wasn't done by, official pollsters, so it was an online poll. Its sample of residents were not much under what the Washington Post poll was, and that was about 500 people. The poll done by the Informer was about 200 people. I am very proud to tell the listeners, and they can look this up online, that in the Informer poll, we won. Voters said if on May 2nd they were to elect a mayoral candidate, it would have been me. I scored 41%. The at-large council member, I believe it was 38%, and the Ward A council member and the mayor had lesser percentages. So I am proud to say that the tide in this city has turned. I'm not exactly sure what other polls you're referring to besides the two independent media polls that I just named, but I am enthusiastic. And let me share with you what's different this time. Last time, the media said that the mayor didn't have any opponents, and she did. Last time, I eerily predicted that crime would be at a 20-plus year high if we didn't get a new mayor, and it is. People are hungry for change. People are hungry for change. So that's very different. This mayor has catered to affluent folks in this city, and I know as I traverse the city that they're telling me in the Palisades and Georgetown and Ward 2 and Ward 3, they're saying, we need a fresh set of eyes, and they're willing to give me a chance. So no one, including you, with all due respect, can tell me not only that she's polling better, but that she's going to win this election. It's going to be an upset.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight, our guest is James Butler, a candidate for the Democratic nomination for mayor of Washington, D.C. The phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we go to the phone lines, Mr. Butler, I did want to address, I mentioned that you were a former lawyer. And whether well known or not, you had been disbarred and had given up your license, and some of the charges had been basically that your firm that you had headed was not basically working for your clients as it should have. And there was fraud and malpractice charges, lack of follow through for clients. So if that was the case, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you had sort of conceded that was issues with your firm. Why then would voters put you in a position to run a city if you were not able to effectively run a law firm of 25?
Yeah, so let me answer that for you. And you mentioned I conceded. I don't know that we've spoken on this issue, but I have spoken on it with a number of medias. Let's keep in mind, and let's—I know the voters are fair; they understand.
Let me be clear then. So I'll give you a chance to be clear.
Sure.
Did you not concede that you were young and there were mistakes made, and that you agreed to give up your license? Wouldn't that be accurate?
With all due respect, I'm going to get to that, and you've asked the question. And if I can respond, I'll respond thoroughly to your question.
Mm-hmm.
May I?
Sure.
Thank you so much. I was 26 years old when I started my law practice. And you're right that I did have 25 members of the firm. I was transversing the entire country. And I want the voters to know this was extremely difficult for me. It wasn't one man sitting in an office. I'm proud of the hundreds and thousands of people that we helped on civil rights issues all over the country. What I am not proud of, that there was a small amount of clients that we let down that were predominantly in one institution, and that was just a correctional institution. And if I could turn things back, I would. But I want to ask the voters, you know, when you're in your 20s, are you the same person that you are when you're in your 40s? I'm 47 this year. I'll be 47 this year. One thing that issue has taught me, that oversight. It's extraordinarily important to have oversight. I am my team can tell you I've run other businesses since that time, restaurants, a technology firm, and oversight is the most important thing for me. I want the listeners to also know there was nothing criminal about it at all, no charges, no talk of charges, no any of those things. And in fact, my license was not taken for me. I voluntarily surrendered my license, and I also would like to say this in a very important way, that the first approach that Bar Council wanted to do, they wanted to give me a one-year suspension for failure to manage, essentially. That was the overarching claim. So I do want to draw some clarity to that. And yes, it is a fact that I did concede and give up my license. I was very young when that happened, and I'm very sorry about that, genuinely sorry. But, you know, the voters understand that people are not resigned to past mistakes, especially when you're operating at that high level in your 20s. How many men do you know operating at that level in your 20s? I'm going to ask the voters, how many black men in America do you know that's a managing partner of a law firm of 25 in your 20s?
I think that's a fair question, but I think a counter to that could be also, even if you're in your 20s, in terms of should you take on that kind of responsibility if you're that young, and whether or not, you know, if that's a good decision to take that on. So that probably could be the counter to that. But we've addressed that, so we'll get on to we'll move on to some other issues. Let me get a phone call in real quick, Mr. Butler, before we have to take a break. Clara has been hanging on the line. She's calling from Maryland. Go right ahead with your question or comment pretty quickly, Clara.
Hi.
Turn your radio down, Clara.
Okay,
go right ahead very quickly.
Hi, I just want to commend Mr. Butler for standing up for the people in D.C. Even though he has some past issues or whatever that's going on in his past when he was an attorney, I strongly believe that he is the right candidate for D.C. mayor. And I wish that people would leave the past in the past and give this man an opportunity to become the mayor of Washington, D.C. Because since he has been trying his best to change the environment of Washington, D.C., I've watched this man stand with the police on crime. I've watched this man stand with the people who were giving out food during...
All right. Well, thank you so much, Claire. I'm sorry we had to sort of couldn't let you finish your full thought, but we do have to take a break, and I think we sort of get the idea of your point. But thank you so much for calling. We're going to take a break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, and that includes Ray and Kathy, stay right there. We're going to continue this conversation on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. We are continuing our coverage of the candidates for mayor of the District of Columbia. Tonight, our guest is James Butler, a former lawyer and a former D.C. Advisory Neighborhood Commissioner. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mr. Butler, one of the issues that you mentioned is that you would end homelessness and you would make it non-existent. That is a high bar to meet. Many officials have tried to do that, not only in the district, but across the country. How would you make it non-existent in the district?
Yeah, my correct words were virtually non-existent, so just kind of a minor. homelessness can become non-existent. Let me share with you why. We spend more money to manage the crises than it would take to end the crises. The first thing that we will do is we'll review how we're looking at our shelters and transitional housing. Right now, we're relying on these deplorable shelters and transitional housing. I've been in every single one in the city. And what I'm hearing from people is rapes, assaults, property stolen, bed bugs, and those sorts of things. We've got to end this purgatory of an idea of keeping people in these shelters. What we will do is go into the city's very own housing stock. The city owns lots of property. We will hire the homeless to build them out. This is the hard stuff in democracy that career politicians could never see or would never see, because it would actually require them to do some real work, of course. And so I want to share with the voters that we will do that. We will begin our plan from day one, building out the city's housing stock and hiring D.C.'s homeless to build that out, to provide long-term supportive housing with one of the most robust wraparound services in the country.
But
that will look like this.
But you're assuming that those homeless folks have the skills to build housing, correct? And if they don't have the skills, then what?
No, they can participate in some way, shape, form, or another.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But if you hear about my wraparound service, it addresses DOES and providing other jobs. May I proceed?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. And again, as I was saying, providing one of the most robust wraparound services in the country. Here's what that looks like. It looks like mental behavioral health apparatus, addiction services, and including economic concerns with DOES. Will we work with those homeless demographics to ensure, if one, they're having a mental behavioral health issue, that they're medically compliant, but also that we discern their skill sets and work with DOES until they're able to pull themselves up and be 100% productive and non-reliant on public health? That's how we do it. We go into the city's housing stock. We're literally spending more on hotels and to manage this crisis than it would to eradicate it entirely.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. Our guest tonight is James Butler, a candidate for D.C. mayor. Phone lines are still open. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Kathy is calling from the district. Go right ahead, Kathy, with your question or comment.
Yes, thank you. Kathy Henderson, Commissioner Kathy Henderson. I want to thank Commissioner Butler for his service to the District of Columbia and ask him to join me in my renewed call for sanctions, cameras, for any property or rental property owner that has five or more police calls for service in any calendar year. They must install cameras where they are high quality so that they can aid the police in the event of a crime. I think we need that. We want to make sure that we're using every available resource to protect citizens. And I think this is an opportunity to make sure that we have an extra set of eyes to protect people in their rental properties.
Thank you so much. And what are your thoughts on that, candidate Butler?
Well, let me address this, and thank you, Commissioner. Yesterday in my home, which is one of my team members described as like a fortress, I live in a multi-unit dwelling right off of 8th Street Northeast, and I woke up to the sound of gunshots. Literally, my car is parked in a private garage, which is, you can't even see. It's not even visible from the street. And one of the doors happened to be broken. Car came through. We don't know whether it was a botched robbery or what, but I literally, the decedent laid feet away from my car. I came out literally to police tape in a homicide. The victim was pronounced on the scene. So I will tell you this. What I do know is the detectives and all are having a tough time actually getting information off of the video. So it's quite interesting that she would say that, because we do need upgraded cameras. We also need those on residential properties and rental dwellings as well. And I believe those should be fully abated for consumers that experience crimes like I unfortunately had the horrific time of experiencing yesterday. Just very traumatic. It's emblematic of what's happening all over the city. I don't think I need to say that crime is at a 20-year high. No one's surprised at this point with those stats in the campaign. What they are surprised at is that a mayor that has seen crime elevate to a 20-year high under her watch now suddenly has a solution, that two council members who are equally complicit and have seen this crime rise are now saying that they have a solution. One, Ward has about 80% of the crime in the city, yet he says he's got a plan for the whole city. And the other has looked to strip our public safety budgets and defund the police.
Well, the mayor has proposed adding more police. Council members White, both, I think their position is they would like to funnel funds not so much into hiring more police, but more community programs. So what is it that you would do to combat crime? Would you want more police? Would you?
I do. I've been called tough on crime, and I've been ostracized for it. I've been quoted as saying I will make D.C. one of the safest cities in America, and I will. And
so,
here's how.
So, okay, I'm sorry. Because I was going to ask you, what is the difference between your position and the mayor's position in adding more police?
My position, one, I haven't failed the city by seeing crime at a 20-year high under my watch. It's not like it just happened. It started going up in 2014, and then now you're claiming after 8 years that you can reduce it. I'm not willing to give her a chance, and let me tell you why, because I don't know if we give her four more years if you'll see it at a 30 or 40-year high. Lives depend on this, so let me expose to you what how mine is different. First of all, we're going to target not only the root cause, but we're also going to target the issues now, public safety now. I will make our rec centers like world-class centers. We will have 24-hour rec centers that will act as safe passages and resource centers, not only for kids, but for single moms and dads. Mom needs diapers. Mom needs money from a constituency service fund. We provide those things. People are saying, well, kids should be sleeping at night. Well, they're not sleeping at night. So I'd rather have them playing basketball or doing something productive than shooting someone. Our rec centers need to operate as world-class centers, and I will work to have that from day one. The second thing is we will do is we will have the Marion Barry Summer Youth Program, a year-round program, if the parents choose to allow their kids to be in that year-round, paying at minimum wage at least. So now you have this younger demographic that's really getting money, they're getting career experience, and we will bring back every single trade where you can get a job from, plumbing, IT, home economics, those sorts of things, where you can get, you know, a culinary arts, where you can get a job and be hired out of high school. College isn't for everyone, but learning is. So we're going to make sure that we work to resolve the root of the problem. But at the same time, we're going to ensure that we bring an additional 500 to 700 police officers in my first 4 years. And I'll tell you why. Right now, we're working 1.1 million hours of overtime. That equates to literally paying an additional 500 police officers. The problem with that is, one, we're going to bring police officers from our own cadet program, from our own neighborhoods, to police our own neighborhoods. We don't need to bring them from out west or the southwest or the midwest or wherever. We're going to bring them right from here in our own neighborhoods. And we're going to have these additional 500 police officers because we know that police officers are working while they're sick, mental behavioral health issues. And we also know that our response times have gone down, increased because almost 90 seconds because we don't have the resources to respond on time. That can be a matter of life and death when it's 90 seconds. We're not going to have that. Literally, when I was pulling out of the parking lot yesterday, several police officers said, "We're rooting for you. We need someone that has our back." They recognize me. We need a mayor that has our back. And I would never say who these were. And actually, a couple I didn't know. But we need a mayor that has our back. In addition to that, I will work to form a gun interdiction unit to work in addition to the gun recovery unit to ensure that guns coming from Maryland, Virginia, or any other jurisdiction where these guns would be used to do our residents harm will be interdicted and people will be fully punished by the U.S. Attorney's Office.
I wanted to be sure I wanted to follow up and make sure we can get to the other callers that are waiting to ask you questions or offer comments. But I did want to ask this. You had mentioned that you were going to hire 500 to 700 new police officers, but you said you would draw them from police cadets. That would mean you would need that number of cadets. So
In my first four years.
So you mean over a four-year span, you would hire 500 to 700 police officers, and that would come through strictly the cadet program. Would that be?
Not only. We would go with our resources first. If we don't have enough, then we would reach out to other areas.
Okay. I just want to be clear because you had said that we wouldn't have to go outside of our area. We would then draw from our cadets.
That is my belief. I believe within 4 years we'll have enough for our area.
All right.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Yep. Well, let me try to get a couple calls in if I can, Mr. Butler. Ray has been sort of waiting patiently calling from the district. Go right ahead, Ray, with your question or comment.
So he speak about the police. So I remember in the city when the housing police was designed. The housing police was designed to community the housing community, the projects or whatever they were. Why aren't they not back in those communities? Why are they riding in cars? Why do they have offices in government buildings and so forth? They shouldn't be in cars. They shouldn't be none of that. They should be back in the communities where they supposed to be. Second question. You have the police sitting in front in the communities at these stores and liquor stores, but yet you have all these kids hanging out in front of the store. So what's the purpose of the police just sitting there with all the kids just hanging out there selling drugs right in front of the police? Why aren't they not making no arrests? Why aren't they not making them move? Why they, you know, what's the plan there?
Love your questions. And I had a thank you, caller. Thank you so much. I really like that. I have two things I want you to do. Look up 2018, and if you look up James Butler, D.C. Mayor 2018, you'll see a video where people laughed at me all around the city and said, community policing, that won't work. And in fact, I've been asked about it. In 2018, you wanted to bring community policing. And I said, I still do. I want to get the police out of their cars. I want to get them patrolling the neighborhoods. I want them taking their cars home. And I want to get police officers out of cars policing again like they should. Now, as part of my plan, and I didn't get a chance to finish, I was going to say, I wanted to partner, and I, as your mayor, I will partner with the ATF and all of our other federal partners to tackle ghost guns, but not only to tackle ghost guns, to ensure that the housing police are actually housing in DC housing development. Further, I have, and people have also ostracized me for this, the loitering. The loitering that goes, and I am the only candidate, and I'm telling you, they have come at me hard, that said I will review, and I will from day one, the loitering that goes on our streets, I will review it with the federal courts, and D.C. Superior Courts to look at a constitutional and restorative ways to end it once and for all. I will absolutely nix it once and for all, and we will explore constitutional options to do that to make sure no one's rights are trampled upon. Because I'll tell you this, most of the petty beefs, most of the illegal guns, the ghost guns, all of that stuff festers right out of the loitering. That when dudes are posted up, primarily dudes on the block, we got to end it.
202.
Because if we don't focus on it, it's going to be more of the same.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. Our guest tonight is James Butler, candidate for mayor of the District of Columbia. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Tammy is calling from the district. Go right ahead, Tammy, with your question or comment.
Hello. I thank you for this opportunity. I'd like to address the homelessness and affordable housing. There's a population that goes unrecognized. That's the working homeless. That's me. Right now, I'm in rapid rehouses, and I'm paying half my income in rent. For those that don't know, rapid rehousing rent, the program is designed to bring you up to pay market rate rent by the end of your year. So every 3 or 4 months, my rent is going to go up. The rent here is $2,020. There's no way I can pay it. And I work every day. I work for the government, for DC government. And I just can't afford to pay market rate rent. There's no such thing as affordable housing. The housing programs are not designed for people that's not making a certain amount, six figures.
Right. So
you have to now make three times what your rent is in a month.
So Tammy, do you
with the homeless program?
I was going
to
say,
I would like the opportunity to sit down so that when we make you make these changes, we can make effective changes that's going to really benefit the homeless.
Okay, Tammy, let's let Mr. Butler sort of address that. I'm just going to synthesize maybe where Tammy is going, just say,
I got it.
Yeah, what is it that you're going to do about affordable housing? Sounds like that's what she's getting at.
Tammy, thank you so much. And to any of the callers, after this is over with in the coming days or whenever, you all can all call me directly at 202-677-3131. I'll sit down with you, Tammy. But let me explain to you right now, Tammy, what the issue is. Everyone's talking about affordable housing. It's oxymoronic. It does not exist. And all three of my opponents know it doesn't exist, but they won't move to change the law. Beginning day one, I will move to change the law as it relates to AMI. Presently, we use HUD's formula.
Can you AMI. Tell our listeners, Mr. Butler, what AMI, what that acronym stands for?
Yep, I'm going to get to it.
AMI is
area median income. What area median income is used to determine, it's a calculation used to determine who can afford, it's also known as MFI, median family income, who qualifies for affordable housing. That process is problematic because it's a regional formula. HUD's formula is a regional formula. It takes into account some of the surrounding counties of D.C., problematic because those are some of the richest counties in America. It artificially inflates what's affordable in D.C. Nothing in the law compels us right now, to use HUD's formula. We can nix it. We do not need to use HUD's formula whatsoever. No law compels us to do that. So from day one, we will abort that formula and begin working to adopt our own localized formula, which will bring more deeply affordable housing. In addition, we rely heavily on private developers for the bulk of our affordable housing. We have our own city housing stock, as I mentioned earlier. Part of that we can use for homeless, people experiencing homelessness, and build that out as opposed to selling those to private developers for $1, which has been happening a lot in this city, and they're making a hefty profit off of it. How about looking after the people for a change? How about looking after the people that really need it, not developers and affluent people that live uptown? And so it's time we get a mayor with a fresh set of eyes that will do the hard stuff, not the easy stuff, and just sit there being a figurehead, walking around with security like you're untouchable. I will meet the people right where they are. And people are hurting in this city. They need help. We will build out that city housing stock, and we will ensure that we can provide also additional deeply affordable housing after we change the law as it relates to AMI. But I'm not stopping there. I'm not stopping there because I want to make history while working for the people. I'm going to ensure that rent control is a real thing in D.C. Right now we have it, but it doesn't apply to any dwelling place built since 1976. Well, most of the desirable buildings were built post-1976. I'm going to work to change that law so that every building in D.C. will provide rent control.
202.
Enough of the lackluster politicians in this city.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight is James Butler. He is a candidate for D.C. mayor. We still have a few more moments to go, so if you'd like to get in a question or comment for candidate Butler, now's the time to do it. 202-319-7810. Mr. Butler, what is your position in terms of this is a conversation now nationwide regarding schools and school safety and whether or not resource officers or police officers should be in schools. What's your plan to keep kids safe in school in the district? How would you address this issue? Or how do you address it, rather?
Thank you. Every single school will have a surveillance camera in the classroom where a PA system can be used through the camera, and most of the cameras operate in that way. So if there is a crisis, we can go into protective mode. I will not move to remove police officers from our school just yet. We can't do it. We're not at the right time in history to do it now. Maybe we'll be back there someday, but now it's not the time. We will maintain police officers in our school so we do not experience something like Uvalde, Texas. Now, I know there's at least one of, or if not two of my opponents, that's for removing police officers from schools. We will not do that. We will be prepared. A good leader is not reactive, but proactive. And I will ensure not only do we have police, but every single classroom has a camera in so that if a crisis does occur, all the other teachers can be notified via address. And that crisis that's happening in that particular camera, classroom can be identified, or hallway can be identified, and the police can come in. Because we also know you don't wait 75 minutes because that's a matter of life and death. We're the nation's capital of America. And I'm going to run this city like we are the nation's capital of America, not we're some little country town. We need to start thinking like a state if we want to pursue statehood. So I can assure you, we're going to operate like a world-class city when I'm mayor.
Let's go back to the phone lines. John is calling from D.C. with a question or comment for candidate Butler. Go right ahead, John.
Good evening, Mr. Butler. I think you know who I am. I have two questions. I'm going to make it real quick. As you know, I am a pro slavery compensation organization, not reparations. It's two different items. I am also pro,
housing. Just for time's sake, I think I need you to get right to your question because I want to make sure Mr. Butler can address it because we're sort of getting close to the clock. So just jump right in.
Quick. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about the issue of the residents who are descendants of slaves in the District of Columbia who go unnoticed by elected officials every year who are seeking office in the District of Columbia? I'll hang up.
Thank you, John.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to say that I now recognize who the caller is. I didn't at first, but I am one of the few candidates, maybe the only candidate in the United States of America running for mayor of a major U.S. city that will bring reparations for African-American descendants of slaves. We've already begun working with Freedmen Organization, Georgetown, and other organizations to determine part of the compensation would be a microcosm of what the federal government should have already done instead of talking about. They've given Black American descendants of slaves Juneteenth. I think they should have done a lot more. What we will do is we will provide small amounts of cash payments as mayor. Also, partnership with every university like Georgetown with private public-private partnerships to ensure that people can educate themselves. Also, the seniors over 65 that are African-American descendants of slavery no longer need to pay property tax and those sorts of things. I have fully endorsed and supported Mr. Cheek's recovery bill. I think I'm one of the only people that did that in 2018. I enthusiastically have done it again. And I am, people told me, you're going to lose the white vote. You're going to lose, you know, so-called white votes, that they said. I said, when people hear my sound ideas, I'm not going to lose any vote, because a broad-thinking mind understands the contributions that Black American descendants of slaves made to this city, not only this city, this country, and I will see that that happens again. We will begin working on it for day one.
When you say small amounts, Mr. Butler, and obviously that's very subjective, what is there some dollar amount you have in mind, and where would you pull that money from, and how would you identify descendants of slaves?
Yeah, so I did talk about the identification. I said early on in the conversation that we'd be working with Georgetown and the Freedmen Organization. We would also begin working with larger corporations such as Ancestry.com. Those are probably the two or the three largest databases that exist in the country right now that can prove and show us with a high level of a certainty who is and who was, or however you want to view that, a descendant of slaves. What we will also do is ensure that the money comes from places like a commuter tax. So that's something that I'm one of the few candidates to be in support of. That looks like also, you know, us raising, perhaps, while working with Metro, this is something we're still exploring, you know, with charging extra for the extra 48 people from 48 states to come in D.C. We can't charge a toll, so we might raise that, and that's something we're also exploring as well. So people coming in might pay 50 cents extra. Our museums can see millions of people per year. That small amount would literally allow us to fund it. I also say this. I know we're not the federal government, so we can't give out endless amounts of money. So it would certainly be, you know, monthly payments under $500. But like anything, if it's a priority to you, you'll find a way to fit it in your budget, just like we all do in our own personal lives. This is something extremely important. Every, elected official in this country has almost talked about it. It's time that someone's tough enough to do it. It's time that we get, you know, what we're doing is electing more of the same. Old, tired, reused leadership in this country at the federal level, at the city level. We need a full reset to turn this thing around. We really do.
He is James Butler, former lawyer and D.C. Advisory Neighborhood Commissioner. He is a candidate for mayor of the District of Columbia. On the Democratic side, there is no Republican candidate. So when you go to vote in the primary on January 21st is my birthday. I think that's why I keep saying that.
Happy belated.
Thank you. On June 21st, you will basically be voting for the mayor of the District of Columbia. Mr. Butler, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your thoughts and your vision for the city.
Thank you all, and may God forever bless soon-to-be 51st state.
That's the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, June 6th. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.